aside from being, well, quite a bit warm, why is 100 million degrees such a significant milestone for fusion tech?
It's quite a milestone because it's an important step on our pathway to a actual working fusion power reactor. And it's the in the Chinese context, it's certainly the biggest achievement they've made on their East tokamak device.
What is the best of other attempts that have been made?
So there have been some higher temperatures achieved, in particular the JET device in England, the giant European Torus, is probably the highest performance worldwide, but it's been reconfigured. So the interesting thing with the East machine is it's the first one to use superconducting magnets to confine the plasma inside this toroidal shaped tokamak device. And that's the technology that the ITER experiment, which is really the world's biggest ever project, is being built at the moment in France, but they're using superconducting technology. So this is a really key step along the way to firing up ITER.
Why, in fact, is fusion energy actually important? What are the main benefits of fusion as opposed to other energy?
So there's a number of benefits, which really explains why we've been chasing this technology for over 50 years now. And principally, it's sustainable. The fuel supply is basically inexhaustible. We can get the deuterium fuel from the ocean. And I think by all projections, there's no way we'll ever exhaust that supply. It's safe inherently. The fusion reactor can't melt down. It doesn't generate weapons material, so there's no proliferation concerns. And also politically, the fact that the fuel is in the ocean means that no particular country has a monopoly on fuel supplies. So it's got a lot going for it.
And this could be used in really any sense that we use energy today, the same way we use power plants today.
Yes, fusion is particularly good for just baseload energy. So no greenhouse emission, no radioactive waste issue, and it can just provide that steady state long-term baseload power.
Fantastic as it all sounds. As you mentioned there, we've been chasing this one for 50 years. From a layman perspective, why is it taking so long?
So it's an excellent question. What we're trying to do is create a mini sun on the Earth. And if you look at the center of the sun where it's producing its fusion power by more or less the same process, it's actually only about 15 million degrees. So maybe 6 to 10 times cooler than what we're trying to do in these experiments on Earth. But the pressure is 200 billion times atmosphere. So that is basically impossible to reproduce. So what we have to do is go to a much lower pressure. It's actually it's actually a reasonable vacuum, and run it at a much, much higher temperature. So the idea of fusion is you're getting nuclei of hydrogen, which are, of course, positively charged. You're trying to smash them together often enough and with enough energy that they will combine and form a helium nucleus. So that means you either need a very high temperature to get them hitting themselves fast enough, and or you need a very high density, so there's lots and lots of these collisions happening all the time. And the sun does it very nicely, but we cannot reproduce those conditions exactly on Earth. So what we're trying to do is create these plasmas at even as much, much higher temperatures, and that turns out they really like to wiggle and fly out of control. So how to control this plasma, this very, very hot thing, keep it confined in a bottle of magnetic fields, and produce it in the first place. It's all been quite a challenge.
With this latest success, do you have any view on how long it will be until we have fusion energy in a practical sense, that we have this fusion energy that we can use for practical applications?
It's certainly beyond a decade. As I mentioned, this building these devices bigger and hotter and higher energy has been used, that experience has been used to design the ITER project in France, which ANSTO and Australia recently became a member of, actually, a couple of years ago. And the milestone for ITER to have its first plasma is 2025. So it's quite a huge engineering effort. And it's probably around the 2030 mark where it will really, what we call ignite, make a plasma that produces more energy than it takes to set it up in the first place. And ITER is an experiment. It's set up to be able to analyze pretty much any aspect of this plasma that you can think of, and then lead to the design for a working power reactor. So we're talking 20 years at least, I would say.
In your view, though, should Australia be investing more in this as an alternative?
I think so. I think we have to invest in this sort of thing to keep our options open down the track. These international endeavours are really important scientifically and for our energy future, I would say. And in fact, we do have the opportunity to make a small contribution to ITER in that the Australian National University has a long history of plasma fusion research. And in conjunction and collaboration with us here at ANSTO, we have a possibility of installing an Australian diagnostic instrument on ITER, which is a really exciting opportunity for us.
It's fascinating stuff. Richard, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.